Hi, everyone. Welcome to Food. I'm Kate Bittman, and I'm glad you're here. Got comments, feedback, questions? Reach out at food@markbittman.com. Also, visit us online at bittmanproject.com. Last week, Carrie wrote about fresh ideas to use the three most common types of lentils, French green, red, and brown, with a new recipe for each one, such as refried red lentils with tagine salsa, all in partnership with our friends at Bob's Red Mill. Plus, Mark and Kathleen hiked and ate through Tokushima, Japan. BittmanProject.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This week, Mark and his partner, Kathleen Finley, who is president of Glenwood Farm in Cold Spring, New York, talked to us from Nagasaki, Japan, where they visited a school lunch center that services 1,750 students plus faculty. I was floored when I listened to this conversation. It's basically a perfect representation of what a progressive lunch program can look like. A carefully created menu, seasonal ingredients, delicious food, affordable for everyone, and eaten all together to build community and well-being. Mark and Kathleen sound so inspired and happy, and it filled me with hope for what's possible. So we'll get to that shortly, but first, let's take the next set of questions from food stylist Barrett Washburn. Last week, I talked to him about how much food is thrown out versus eaten on a photo shoot, the best way to make something look like it's fresh out of the oven, and food styling tips and tricks. This week's topics: the laws around food styling, plus weird things that are done to foods, like supergluing a turkey. Here's me and Barrett, and then on to Mark and Kathleen's utopian experience. What are the U.S. laws for food advertisements when it comes to food styling?
Yeah, so like, you know, if you're doing a lean cuisine meal, like a frozen meal for packaging, you actually have to use that product. You'll get like bags full of that stuff that's in that package, and you have to go through, or make your assistant do it, go through all that package and pick out the nicest bits. Like, you can't replace like a green bean with one you bought at the store. Like, it's got to be what's actually in the package, and you've got to arrange it beautifully for that package. So like, if you're advertising ice cream, you can't use fake ice cream for it. It's got to be the real thing. If it was an advertisement for pizza and you're shooting pizza and there's ice cream in the background, sure, it could be fake ice cream. But like whatever that product is, it has to be the real product.
Has that always been the case, though? I feel like you hear these horror stories about what people used to use for things.
I mean, as far as I know, yes, but I'm sure the rules have been bent, you know, like the glue and the milk thing, you know, you've heard that before, like cereal, they have glue instead of milk, which is fine. You can use glue, like white glue, but like you have to use the cereal because you're not advertising the milk or advertising the cereal.
So you just do like a big bowl of Elmer's glue with cereal on top?
Ew. I've never done it, but this is, you know, this is one of those forward emails again from my mom. Like, that's what people actually think we do all day.
Yeah. Well, this is a question that I just thought about. Like, what's like the grossest thing you've heard about someone doing in food styling?
I mean, I had to do cat food before. That was pretty gross.
Oh, but that's always gross. I just mean like something that someone has had to do or like done in the service of getting a good shot.
I've done some weird stuff to turkeys before. For, like, they've got to sit out forever. I did a shoot for, it was for Spotify actually. And they have at Thanksgiving, I don't know if they still do it. They might, but they have like a turkey timer. So you put in how much your turkey weighs. And then there's an image of a turkey on a turntable. Mm-hmm. And they create a playlist that is the exact amount of time that your turkey cooks for. And then when your playlist is done, your turkey's done. But they made me do that turkey on a turntable. Well, of course, we're shooting in some weird office with no kitchen and like a conference room. So I had to do the turkey like at my house in the morning. But to make a turkey last like that, you like cook it, just you like super glue the skin in the right places and pin it all, and you pour hot water over, boiling water over it to like give it a facelift, and then you cook it in the oven just till the fat melts under the skin, and then you start spraying it with a mixture of like Angostura bitters, kitchen bouquet, dish soap, and like yellow food coloring. And it just gets this like crazy gorgeous brown, and it will sit out for days and probably start smelling, but look exactly the same. No wrinkles in the skin, nothing. So I remember I brought it into that conference room and they were like, whoa.
Oh my God.
It was pretty funny though.
That poor turkey.
I know.
Thank you to the always charming Barrett. More from him next week. And now here's Mark and Kathleen coming to you from Japan.
Here we are in a ryokan, a traditional Japanese hotel, making our first ever international joint podcast, Kathleen.
It's very exciting.
Very. We're in the Oita Prefecture, which is on the island of Kyushu, which is where we're spending this week. We landed in Nagasaki a couple of days ago, and we're whisked off to a place that makes school lunches for 1,750 students in near the city of Unzen. It's a big town, and there are a few of these different school lunch provisioning facilities in and around there, school lunch centers. And then this school lunch center happened to be next to a elementary school, which has grades 1 through 6 and has literally 13 kids, like 2 or 3 or maybe 4 kids per class. It was amazing. So we went to the facility. You want to start us off there? What was it called?
Chijiwa School Lunch Center. They're called lunch centers.
Right. Chijiwa, I think.
Oh, I think you're right.
Chijiwa. Yeah.
And like Mark said, it's basically an industrial or a commercial kitchen that is making one meal for 1,700 kids every school day.
Right. They start in the morning and they start shipping. We got there about 10 and they were just about ready to start shipping. The schools are all nearby and they have stainless steel containers. They have a way of chilling stuff that needs to be chilled and keeping stuff warm that can be kept warm, but there's no reheating. Everything is packed and shipped to the school in stainless steel containers. It is, I mean, you use the word industrial, which we usually use in a non-flattering manner, but it is a bit of a factory. You know, it's not 3 people cooking lunch for 30 kids. It's 30 people cooking lunch for 1,700 kids.
Well, it's not 30 people. It's 18 or less.
Okay.
Folks.
Well, yeah, but, was
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing, here's the thing. Here's the upside of what we want to talk about is that the food is real.
Right. That's, everything's from scratch. All the ingredients are real. There's nothing pre-made. The cooks are making dishes made from real ingredients. And they say they're doing their best to source from producers locally, which in that part of Kyushu is, you know, it's surrounded by, it's a farming area.
The whole island.
And
is.
It's near the ocean. So they have access to vegetables and seafood, which are the primary elements of the meals that they're making, seems to me.
Yeah. And, you know, they're using big equipment, but it's people operating this big equipment. So there was someone making soup. They had made dashi. That's the sort of daily Japanese stock made from seaweed and bonito flakes. Bonito is a relative of tuna. They had made that, but someone was making a kind of cabbage soup with a bunch of other stuff, little mushrooms, mm-hmm. a little chicken, mm-hmm. a little tofu. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of shiitake mushrooms grown here, so those were in a couple different things. Someone was making what they called scattered rice. It was being described to us as chirashi sushi, which means rice with stuff on top, but this was really like mixed rice, sort of rice with stuff mixed in. But again, vegetables and mushrooms, little chicken, I think, in there too.
An asparagus salad.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was really great. We had a sesame oil dressing and then the fish.
But the asparagus salad also had a little seaweed, some lettuce. It was really fresh and good.
Yeah.
The fish was
amberjack.
Right. Another relative of tuna, sort of. Small piece of fish. Maybe glazed with a little teriyaki kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Very simply done. And a very small piece, you know, 2 ounces, I would say.
That was all served with a carton of milk and a little tiny package of rice crackers, which was the only processed food.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't ask them about the milk, but we were really curious about whether the milk lobby had gotten to the Japanese school lunch system the way it has gotten to the American school lunch system, which really in America, you're not allowed to serve lunch without serving milk.
Right.
It looked like it.
Yeah.
Because it was the same.
Same carton. Same carton.
It may have even been it was American milk and it was a settlement anyway.
Yeah. And in fact, so we ate with the kids later and we cleared our plates like every student is mandated to do, and teacher and administrator who all eat lunch with the students.
Well, talk about the serving, because that was really interesting.
Well, I mean, the food leaves this center in these really quite beautiful containers that are sort of family style bowls and trays that are sent to each of the 12 or 13 schools that this center provisions. And they're sent in these, again, everything's really efficient. Like the containers fit perfectly into this larger box container that has wheels on it. 3 of those wheeled containers fit perfectly on the back of these special delivery trucks. They're all, you know, battened down. And then those delivery trucks go into the schools. And it seems to me the schools receive them with the same sort of system of efficiency that containers go onto these wheeled trays. The silverware has its place. The bowls have their place. The plates have their place. And then the students on lunch duty that day wheel the carts into the lunchroom and sort of set up a buffet line, essentially.
And every school has a lunchroom sized appropriately for that school. This one was obviously pretty small, although there were 13 students, though there were at least 7 or 8 teachers and administrators. There were a couple special guests because we were there. So some people from the district and us. So there were probably 25 people in that room that day.
Yeah, you could tell they kind of squeezed a little bit. But it was all the desks were, tables were assembled in a circle. So you ate in a circle with everybody and community. It was just wonderful.
And Kathleen has great pictures of this on her blog, catfinley.com. The most fun part of the thing, I think, is that the kids are serving. So there are these big buckets of the food, and there are adults to help them because some of these kids are really little. I mean, first graders, so they're 6 or 5 even. But mostly the kids are scraping out rice, ladling out soup, taking a piece of fish, et cetera, putting it on your plate. So there's a very informal and very warm and friendly buffet line, which we didn't get to go through because we were a special guest, so we got served. But that was really, really nice. And then everybody sat and ate. And
importantly, everybody waited until everybody had their tray.
Right.
Yes. So the kids are sitting there in front of their food, waiting for the last person to be
right, chatting.
Served.
I'm just trying to not, wasn't like rigorously disciplined, but there were some things to be followed, like you don't start eating until everybody starts eating. And so a couple people said something before we started eating.
A student is tasked to read the menu of the day.
Right.
And maybe they do a couple other things and say the equivalent of bon appetit. And then everybody starts eating.
Right. And then everybody ate.
Yeah.
But there was no time limit. It wasn't like your next period is going to start. I mean, these are little kids. It might be different in junior high school and high school, but there was no time limit. People ate. They finished as they finished.
I really liked that there was no separate teacher's lounge. I mean, it was, teachers and administrators, everyone who worked in the school was eating lunch together. And often, the teachers and administrators weren't sitting in one area of the circle. It was just all together. And everybody was having the same meal. The American English teacher brought a bento that day.
Right.
So I guess if you have an allergy or something, they were explaining that if the menu that you're provided, the families are provided the menu well ahead of time. So if there's something that you're allergic to, but it's not like a preference, it's more like if there's something that you can't have, you might bring a bento to school that day.
Stay tuned for more from Mark and Kathleen.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Hair Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to hairdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code BITMAN. Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the multi-terrain select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
So the nutritionist that we spent quite a bit of time with is responsible for writing this menu. There's a picture of it in Japanese on my blog, but it's really, we have an English version also. It's a really beautiful piece of paper that just shows how real the ingredients are for each menu item. Like you couldn't imagine, it would be hard to imagine that menu every day in an American school unless it was a private school or had some sort of, you know, really progressive lunch program.
Right. It is, that's what it is, though. It's a progressive lunch program. This is doable, but it is progressive. I mean, they're sourcing real ingredients. They're cooking real food. They're serving it the 2 hours after it's cooked.
Yeah. I mean, I left feeling like, why wouldn't you do it? Right. Not like it's doable. It's like, why isn't this more of a norm? The economics are challenging as always, but it's working in Japan. This is typical of what we were told is typical of how lunch is served to students throughout the country. And the local governments subsidize the system, meaning the workers and the infrastructure needed to cook and serve the lunches. And the families typically, although we learned today, not always is the case, but typically the families chip in to cover the ingredients for procurement. Cities are incentivizing families, young families, to move to their city, which is the case in much of rural Japan because so many of the residents live in the cities that rural communities are really trying to incentivize folks to live in their area. They might subsidize 100% of the school lunch for those kids.
Right. I mean, it's not a direct, here's what the ingredients cost and here's what you're charged. My understanding was that the cities pay for the majority of what stuff costs, and families were charged about $2 a day. I think it was 370 yen or
yeah, it's like $2
a day. Yeah,
so it's about, per meal
yeah,
day.
Per day. Yeah. So, right, per meal day. So $10 a week, $40 a month, which is not nothing for many families, and those families that can't afford that are then further subsidized by most cities, it sounded like,
yeah,
by most municipalities. So $2 a day if you can afford it, zero if you can't. But then, as Kat just said, some towns, especially in rural areas, are incentivizing, trying to incentivize people to move there. And one of the benefits is free lunch. You don't even pay the $2 a day. But $2 does not even cover that cost of ingredients, I don't think. I wouldn't, you know, a piece of fish, a bowl of rice, a nice soup.
So the woman,
a salad.
Nutritionist who wrote the menu is saying, so she writes a menu based on what's local and seasonal, what's available. She tries to keep it in a budget of around, so that the ingredients cost around $2 right. a day. So, and that's a kind of what the parents or the families are providing. But right. it's, as you say, it's not a direct correlation. That's just the sort of budget she's trying to keep. And she does also consult this, which what you asked me about, this menu committee, which sounds like it could be hard because it has students. Yeah. No, but just to receive feedback on a regular basis from the students themselves, the families, the teachers, the school administrators. The spirit is they try to, you know, get input about what all of those folks want to see on the tray, which is nice.
Right. And really, we should say, you already said, why would anybody not do this? It was a great lunch.
It was a really good lunch.
It was a really good
lunch.
And
it was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I was really quite full.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I had anything unhealthy. I didn't drink the milk. And then the little rice crackers, I could have lived with that. I don't know what the point of those are. But
give the kids a treat.
Yeah, maybe.
But
I'd pay good money for that lunch. I'd pay way more than $2 for that lunch.
Well, but here's the point. It doesn't cost $2. The parents are paying $2. But the school lunch facility is a multi-million dollar.
Right.
To build the school lunch facility costs millions. Each of those trucks and all of the equipment, the packing equipment, et cetera, is hundreds of thousands, probably. Maybe not each of the trucks, but that equipment is expensive, let's say. There are 30 staff. You said there are 18 cooks, but there are other staff, too, truck drivers.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. The state subsidizes the building of the state or the town or some combination subsidizes the building of the facility, subsidizes the trucks, and subsidizes the staff, labor.
Right.
And the parents are kind of paying for the food.
Shipping in.
Yeah. It makes it sound a little informal. They're paying real money. But they're not covering the cost.
Right.
And what was the history of this? There was something about it started 40 years ago. Before that,
you brought bento boxes.
Everybody brought a bento box.
Exactly. And we didn't get too deep into what the movement was that caused these centers to be established. But the center we were at was pretty new. Part of it, you know, it's just an acknowledgement that food and eating and sharing food and real food is an important part of early life. The amount of time that was spent, the involvement and engagement with everyone in this school community. And then in the lunchroom, there was information on what's seasonal right now locally, a map showing where ingredients came from, the different nutritional qualities of the menu that week or month. I mean, just really, it's education. It is integrated. I got the sense that it wasn't like, and now you're out of school for 40 minutes while you have lunch. It was like, this is a part of our education. We're now doing the eating and food part, you know,
right.
But it didn't seem totally in the service and community part. It didn't seem completely separate.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about it because it was a beautiful experience. We've been on the road for 2 weeks and we haven't felt compelled to do a podcast about any. We've had a great time and done many things and blah, blah, blah. And we've written about some of them, but we haven't felt compelled to talk about it because this was the first sort of super inspiring thing that's happened since we left home, at least in the world of food.
That and the soba noodles last night.
All right.
We'll get to that later.
In reference to these soba noodles, we are both together and individually posting a bunch of different stuff, which I'll talk about before we stop, which we're going to stop in 2 minutes. But first, Kathleen is going to talk about the highlight of the lunch thing, which happened after lunch, which cracked us up and hopefully will crack you up.
So student puts on, I think there was music playing actually the whole time, now that I think about it. Some nice background music playing during lunch. And then that stopped and a student put on a specific CD. And as that's happening, I notice all the students getting up again after their plates have been, they've cleared their own plates, but then they're getting up again and they're all coming back with a cup of water and a toothbrush. And then this student puts on a CD and it's a special jolly song, the toothbrushing song. Mm. And for like a long time, I mean, you think it was 2 minutes?
I do think it was 2 minutes. You know, you're supposed to brush your teeth for 2 minutes. Not that anybody does that, but you're supposed to brush.
It felt longer. It felt like 4 minutes.
Okay, but try brushing your teeth for two minutes. Yeah.
Or sitting and watching a room full of people brushing their teeth for 2 minutes.
Well, one of the teachers literally dances around with a fake jaw, a model of a jaw, and a giant toothbrush. And obviously the toothbrushing song is saying, now brush your
front teeth.
Inside of your incisors.
Yes. She's going around to the different parts of the teeth, of the mouth. Yeah, so that happens, and that happens, and we're learning in every classroom after lunch.
Every classroom, every day after lunch. Yeah. I don't think you're going to see that in the United States.
I mean, that's a win for the dentist. I mean, that's amazing. Imagine if the American Dental Association could get that through. And they made, I mean, sweetly, the students had been preparing for us to come and is a chance to practice our English. So every student stood up and introduced themselves to us and said what they liked and what they aspire to do when they grow up. I mean, it was really lovely, and they were all very giggly and excited and curious, and it was a wonderful day.
Yeah, we felt we were honored. Yeah, thanks for listening if you did. And you can read a literate version of this account on Kathleen's personal blog, which is katfinlay.com, katfinlay.com. You can read about other Kyushu and adventures, plus other adventures we've had in the last couple of weeks on bitmanproject.com, some of them written by me, some of them written by the two of us. I made a video of this soba guy last night. It was mind-blowing. I'm sure you can find videos of soba making all over YouTube, but here's one I made last night, and that's going to go up. We're doing some. I'm doing some. What I ate today, I did an interview with someone today about how to make almond tofu. We're just within the limits of our powers. We're trying to post in a lot of different forms and do a lot of different things. So they'll be on bitmanproject.com and occasionally also on katfinlay.com. So look for those things. And yeah, talk to you soon. Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you to Kathleen Finlay and to my regular co-host, Mark. Follow Kathleen on Instagram at Kat Finlay, K-A-T, F as in Frank, I-N-L-A-Y, and Glynwood at Glynwood.org, GLYNWOODORG. And Mark, of course, is at Mark Bittman on Instagram and Facebook and at Bittman on X. Thank you again to Barrett Washburn. He's on Instagram at B-W-A-S-H-B-U. And thank you to our engineer, Davis Lloyd, for always making us sound better than we should. See you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.